when you have a goal in mind, you can kind of figure out what numbers you need to reach and you can work backwards. So I had the goal in mind of doing a round the world trip for our honeymoon. So I knew that it would be anywhere between 125 to 150,000 Amex points per person. And so I made sure I reached that with sign-up bonuses and spend. And then I knew that we wanted to stay at Hyatt, so I had to get a whole bunch of Chase points. So I made sure to get, sign-up bonuses and spend on Chase cards and open up a Hyatt card and things like that to make sure that I was able to have the full kind of honeymoon experience I wanted to, which we don't ever travel on luxury kind of travel. I know a lot of people love business class flights and all this stuff. We've never done that before, but we wanted to make sure that our honeymoon was like that. We wanted to stay at the nicest hotels that we felt were really, really wonderful. We wanted to have the statuses available to give us those benefits. And then we wanted to fly in business class. So we started with the end in mind and then worked backwards and figured out what we needed to do in the time frame that we had available.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Roshan and Michelle from Honeymoon Hackers, with three O's in honeymoon. Michelle and Roshan are newlyweds who just went on their round the world honeymoon this summer and are now helping others to plan their dream honeymoon on points. Roshan learned about the points and miles world in 2018, and Michelle got on board this year after experiencing their round the world honeymoon. In this episode, we go over their incredible 44-day honeymoon and how you can structure a similar trip by transferring American Express points to ANA. If you're looking to get started with American Express points, I would recommend starting with the Amex Gold Card rather than the Amex Platinum. The monthly $20 in dining credits for the Amex Gold Card almost exactly offset the annual fee, and it's a great card to earn 4 points per dollar every day with groceries and restaurants, including takeout. As always, if you want to apply for a new card, please never, ever, ever apply through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link to support them. And if you're interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations, and we have the link to the Amex Gold and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. There's so much advice out there for what to invest in, and everyone has their own biases, which is why more and more people are turning to robo-advisors. This isn't investing advice, but Q.AI helps you to build wealth the way the pros do. You can maximize your returns, invest in trends, and grow your money effortlessly with AI-powered investing. And better yet, you can get a $50 bonus by signing up through Swagbucks. All you need to do is sign up for Swagbucks by going to geobreezetravel.com/swagbucks, click through Swagbucks to install the Q.AI app, and fund your account with as little as $100 to earn the bonus. Check out Swagbucks for even more easy money-making offers, and thank you to Swagbucks for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Hey, Michelle. Hey, Roshan. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, how are you doing?
I am doing well. I am really excited to have you guys here. We are going to talk about your around-the-world honeymoon. I know a lot of people, especially beginners, are always asking, how do I make the most of my points? How do I do one of these around-the-world trips? Because you can get so many flights for a few amount of points, but that does come with some other challenges with scheduling and if anything has to be redone or rescheduled and just transferring in all of your points. So we will talk all about that today. But before we get into all the details of your honeymoon, tell us a little bit about yourselves and your background and how did you get into the world of points and miles?
I help wedding planners part-time, but my focus right now is on Honeymoon Hackers. So
that's her Instagram.
It's my Instagram, Honeymoon Hackers. We got married fairly recently, November 2021. And then that really inspired me to like plan the honeymoon. Both of us, really. We love to travel. We've always loved to travel. And so, you know, we were really looking forward to this big honeymoon.
So when we got engaged, I actually started looking into the best use of points for honeymoon. I had been in credit card hacking for a little bit before that in terms of just short trips, but this was like a big international trip. And so we were really excited. And of course, we came across one of the best redemptions in the business, which is the ANA round the world trip. And so when I proposed, actually, Michelle was taking care of our wedding and I was trying to figure out how to do the honeymoon. We opened up a bunch of Amex cards and got all that. We've been in the credit card space since 2018. And then we focused on our honeymoon around 2020.
How did you come across the ANA around the world? Is that just from reading a lot of blogs, watching a lot of YouTubes? Because it's not something that somebody knows to search for right away.
Yeah, so I'm in a couple of different Facebook groups for points and miles. And I had noticed that it was talked about and it always been like, wow, that sounds like super cool. And then when the opportunity presented itself and I proposed to Michelle, I was like, how cool would it be to use this round the world trip as our honeymoon? Like that's, I don't know. I think I may have set the bar a little too high in the beginning. I don't know what our 1 year and 5 year anniversary trips are going to look like now.
Was this your first big redemption or had you guys done a lot of redemptions before?
Well, we've done a ton of redemptions before, but usually it's like use Scott's Cheap Flights and then burn the points through the Chase portal and find a redemption that way. And small international trips from the US to the Caribbean and things like this. But this was the first big redemption to Europe or Asia. And it was our first redemption using business class as well.
So walk us through a little bit of the planning process. Once you learned, okay, here's how an ANA around the world trip works. And then you started opening Amex cards because you can't really transfer Chase or Capital One or any of those other ones. How did you pick your destinations and just what was kind of your process for putting together this trip?
Well, we definitely realized very soon in the game that it was going to be very complex and complicated to like arrange this round the world trip. So we did reach out to point.me and ask for their help. We had an idea. We wanted to go to Europe. We wanted to go to
Asia.
Oh, Roshan had found a good deal about like on Maldives at a certain point. And so we really wanted to go to Maldives.
I think what we did was Michelle wanted to absolutely go to Greece and I absolutely want to go to Maldives. And we had a couple other places. We had places that we were like, okay, those are our hit like must haves. And then we had other places that were want to haves. And we just got as many want to haves in addition to the two must haves.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
So what was it like working with PointMe and how does that process even work? Do you just say, hey, we want to go to Greece and the Maldives. What else can we put in here? And then they just give you suggestions and then you pick from there. Or how does that back and forth process kind of go?
Yeah, so I did most of the talking with PointMe. Michelle did most of the hotel booking and figuring out the like redemptions and the things to do in the cities. But in terms of the flights, I did most of the talking with PointMe. So it was, I mean, our email thread was probably 75 emails deep. First of all, the PointMe, there was an expense to it. It ended up being about $500 per person for their work on the trip. And that's in addition to, you know, all the points that we spend and any taxes that we have to pay. But we basically said, yeah, these are the couple locations that we must have. And then these are 15 locations that we would like to have. And then they use ANA has, well, it's part of this alliance. And so these are the hubs that you can use. And so we had to take out places like we wanted to go to Egypt, which we ended up not ending up going to. And we also wanted to go to Moscow, which we're luckily we didn't go to because the Ukraine war and Russia or Ukraine-Russia issues started presenting this last summer. And so we're really, really fortunate that we didn't choose Moscow. And so, yeah, we had a group of ideas, a group of places, and we kind of just chose the best route from there.
We were definitely flexible.
Yeah.
So what was the route you ended up flying?
Well, we're in Oklahoma, so we actually had to start in Tulsa. And then it was Tulsa to Lisbon, Lisbon to Barcelona, then Istanbul, Cappadocia, Athens. We took ferries from like Athens to Santorini and Santorini to Mykonos and stuff like that. We had to actually go back to Istanbul to get our flight to Dubai and then Maldives, Bali, Singapore. And then our last one was Seoul.
Yeah.
And then we came back to the US.
So it was a pretty big trip, pretty awesome location.
It was 44 days. I mean, I don't know. I'll be honest. Like, I think having to pack like every 4 days was kind of like the exhausting thing for me because it's like, you know, we get there, then we have to pack everything up and then we get there. And so I think if we were to do it again, I think if we could have, I mean, of course, if we could stay longer at each place, we could have enjoyed it that just that much more.
Well, actually, it was part of the trip was starting from Tulsa, but it did take us to Chicago. And that was part of the round the world trip was Tulsa to Chicago and then Chicago to Lisbon. But yeah, I mean, it was surprising because actually Oklahoma City is where we're based out of and Oklahoma City Airport is bigger than Tulsa Airport. But because of the way things worked, we actually had to start at Tulsa. So we have a good friend in Tulsa that we dropped our car off for a month and a half. And that was pretty interesting. But yeah, we had to start in Tulsa just because of the way it worked out.
What are all the rules that you have to kind of keep in mind as you are booking an around the world trip? Because you went through a lot of segments, and ANA has all of these crazy rules about whether you can go back and forth between Turkey and Greece and everything there. So what were some of the things that you had to keep in mind as you were planning all of this?
There are a ton of rules with the round the world trip, like how many zones, which are like essentially like continents or part of continents that you have to visit, and you have to go usually east to west or west to east, and you can't really go back, but you can kind of go back within a zone. There's like certain rules, and we kind of figured out that we could spend 20-30 hours trying to figure it out and book these segments. And obviously I know the general outline of what you can and can't do, but also having to be on the phone with ANA, which there's also weird parts where if you call during a certain time, you get the American version versus if you call at a certain time, you get the Japanese version. And so where your call center gets routed to also affects it. And so there's so many different factors that come into play, which we were, for the most part, able to completely avoid having to deal with by using a company to kind of book it for us, which is a, you know, kind of a little cheapskate way of saying, I have no idea what the rules are, but it was basically, we made it someone else's problem, and it worked out really, really well. Now,
sometimes it does just save you a ton of time and money to outsource these different efforts for anybody who's like, okay, I don't want to pay $500 per person. How do I do this on my own? There are basically three zones. So there's like North America, Caribbean, South America, there's Europe, Africa, Asia Pacific. It's a little bit blurrier than that, but we'll say those are the three zones. You have to continuously travel east or continuously travel west, and you have to hit each zone at least once. Your trip must be at least three segments. So you could do an around the world that's New York to France to Japan back to New York. That counts. Or you can do up to eight stops. Yours, when you listed it out, sounded like a lot more than eight stops. So did you have the around the world itinerary and a lot of little itineraries in there too?
Yeah, so we combined ANA as well as additional stops. So the one thing that's really nice about ANA, and you'll know this if you're figuring out how to book it yourself, is your last stop does not have to be the same as your next departure. We went from Chicago to Lisbon and then Lisbon to Barcelona, then Barcelona to Istanbul, Turkey. Well, the Lisbon to Barcelona is a very short flight, and it's a very inexpensive flight. So we actually booked Lisbon to Barcelona as a cash flight with, you know, our bags and everything like that. It ended up being like maybe $120 or $130 per person one way. And that was just an easy cash flight instead of using one of the segments on the ANA around the world. So we included small things, we included cash flights, and bigger things like, for example, Dubai to the Maldives, we transferred to Emirates and added in a business class flight through that.
That's a good way to do it, because if you do want to take this trip over, you guys did 44 days, if somebody wanted to take multiple months to do this, that is a good thing to keep in mind, that you can fill in those gaps with lots of little cash flights, like you mentioned. Sometimes you can do train travel, because one of the rules with ANA is you have to continuously be going east or west across the different zones. But let's say you want to crisscross back and forth between Europe. There is also a limit on how many times you can do that just on the ANA ticket. But let's say you had a flight from New York to Greece, but then you wanted to backtrack, go to Spain, and then go from Spain to Turkey. You could do that because Greece and Spain are still within the same zone. And then you could use one of your ANA, or you could use a cash flight or a different airline, like you guys mentioned. So there's a lot of ways to piece this together and also integrate lots of other airlines, train travel, open jaw. And that's where it starts to get really, really confusing. At any point, did anything go wrong? Were there any flights that were canceled or anything? And how did you deal?
Actually, right before, I think it was like a few days before our trip, our honeymoon, there was something with ANA where they're like, oh no, because it was also during COVID time. So there was a lot of restrictions. I think it was with Taipei. And we really wanted to go to Taipei, and it was one of our stops. And they're like, oh no, sorry, it's not open yet. And so our whole ANA route was in jeopardy because of Taipei, you know, and due to restrictions. So that was a really like, oof, what's going to happen moment.
They almost like threatened to cancel the whole ANA itinerary just 3 days before. And, you know, I had taken 45 days off of work. So it's like, I can't afford to do this again. And so what ended up happening was we didn't actually have the finalized route back home until about 15 days before we got back home. And what we ended up doing was we were waiting on Taipei to see if they would open, which they never did. So instead, we went from Seoul to Tokyo, which Tokyo was always part of one of the stops. We weren't allowed to go outside of Tokyo, the airport. So it was always just a layover. And so we were going to go from Seoul to Taipei, and then Taipei to Tokyo, then Tokyo back to America. And so we ended up not having, Seoul to Taipei was closed. And so we weren't able to do that. So about 15 days, we were not sure how it was going to all work out, but about 15 days before, we got Seoul to Tokyo, and that was in economy, and then Tokyo back to America in business again.
Yeah, I know that's always a crazy thing whenever somebody's like, well, I have to book 8 or so flights all on the same itinerary. Did you have to do it all at the same time, or can you amend the ANA ticket as you're kind of going? If somebody was like, I want to take a gap year to just travel the world, they get to Europe and then they're like, well, now I'm ready for leg 2 or leg 3 of my around the world trip. Can you keep adding it on to the same itinerary, or does it all have to be done at once?
I'm actually not 100% sure about that. I do know that we essentially subtracted a spot from our itinerary, and that is kind of amending it. And so that was fine. I don't know if you're allowed to add to it, though.
I think it would be very difficult to add things unless you had like a severe cancellation or something. And then I don't really know how much of your points you would get back, because how much did you guys spend in Amex points to do the around the world trip?
It was 250,000 Amex points to ANA.
For both of us. So 125 each.
Yeah, that's one of the best ways to get a ton of value out of points is 125,000 points, 8 business class flights around the world. That is crazy, crazy good value. But as we've been discussing on this podcast episode, you have to take a whole bunch of time off work, which some people can't do. If something goes down on one of the 8 legs, you are scrambling. How far ahead of time did you have to plan this to find all of the flight segments?
So I started getting points available about 2 years in advance. So I proposed in 2019, and then we got married in 2021, and then we took our honeymoon in 2022. And so I started planning in 2019, opening up Amex cards, and I actually ended up having way more Amex points than I needed because the ANA trip, like you mentioned, is such a good value. But I started planning about 2 years in advance, and then I hired PointMe about a year in advance, and we started booking them about 9 months in advance. That's about when those flights are opening up, so you have the most availability to book them.
Yeah, 9 to 10 months is ideal with ANA, because some people who are listening to this now might be thinking, I have 125,000 Amex points. I'm going to book an around the world trip in 4 months. That is just probably not going to happen. It's very difficult.
You probably could do it in economy, but very, very unlikely in business.
That's true. You could do it for fewer than 125,000 points if you wanted to go around the world in economy. You do get more cents per point value if you want to do business class. So if that's what you're maximizing for, which I think most people who try to do this type of trip do try to do that, but it is doable in economy as well. And then 125,000 is pretty standard, but it is based off of the total distance that you are flying. So if you wanted to jump around the Arctic Circle and your around the world trip was Canada to Finland to Japan back to Canada, that's going to cost way fewer points than if you are crisscrossing up and down every region and you're going US to Brazil to Spain to South Africa to the Middle East to the Maldives. If you're going back and forth like that, if you're bringing Australia into the mix, it costs a lot more just because the distance traveled is a lot more. Let's talk about the fact that when you transfer points from Amex to ANA, you're waiting for 3 days for them to post. It's not like Chase to Hyatt or Chase to United or something like that, where it shows up almost instantly. What were those 3 days like for you when you said, okay, transfer points, pray?
I think the most important thing with the round the world trip, and anyone listening probably understands this by now, is flexibility. So we knew that here's an itinerary we would love to have, but apart from Greece and the Maldives, which were our must go or must visit places. Apart from those, anything else up in the air, you know, pun intended. And so it could totally change. And we were fortunate in our situation that it didn't, but it could totally change. And so flexibility is key when you have a huge redemption like this one.
Was there anything that you did have to be a little bit more flexible on? You said the Egypt one was one that you wanted to go to, and then that just didn't end up happening. Was there anything else?
I think Taipei was a big one. You know, we were really looking forward to that. And of course, because of COVID, I mean, what could we do? There's nothing we can do. And it's fine.
We actually had 5 days planned in Taipei. So we had to cut off. I mean, we all had an epic honeymoon, like the best honeymoon we could ever imagine. Still 44 days. We actually had 49 days planned. And so we did have to cut out Taipei. We didn't go to Egypt, although we knew in the beginning that we weren't going to do Egypt. That was cut out, but that was like a planned cutout. And then and same thing with Russia.
So let's kind of zoom through the destinations real quick. How did you work in hotels with all of this? And was there ever an issue with, okay, we're in this city for a few days, I can't find any good hotel options? Let's kind of just walk through how you integrate the hotel piece with the airline piece too.
Well, we love Hyatt. So that's always our like first go-to is Hyatt. So in Lisbon, that's where we started. We did an Airbnb in Lisbon. It was actually with my family. So I know it sounds weird, but we started our honeymoon with my family. And then again, because of points and miles, we were able to, you know, take my family to Lisbon, which was huge for us. I mean, my family's never really done that. So that was a blessing there. And then we really started just Roshan and I together, our honeymoon journey. And so then in Barcelona, we got, it's called Hotel Vegas. It's a Hyatt hotel. And I forget the name, it's called La Rambla. That's the street it's on. And it's a very popular street. And it's a small like boutique hotel. Very nice. It's Hyatt. Oh, and we're globalists. So we get the free breakfast. Roshan says that that's like his favorite chocolate croissant ever in the world. So if anybody likes chocolate croissants, go to Hotel Vegas in Barcelona.
And most of our hotels were like that. Either Hyatt hotels in Santorini. We had a brand new Hilton hotel that opened up. So we were able to do that. So we have globalist benefit because we stay in Hyatts most of the time. And we are able to get that tiered benefit. But then we got the Hilton highest benefit, which is Diamond, through the Hilton Aspire, which is also an Amex card. And so that kind of helped out when we stayed in Hilton in Santorini. We stayed in Hyatt in Dubai.
That Hilton in Greece, in Santorini, right? Mm-hmm. It was awesome. I highly recommend, like, if you have an opportunity to stay at a new hotel, do it. Just because they give you so many, like, little freebies and, like, so many little perks. Because they want you to have a good time. They want you to talk well about their new hotel and spread the word. So customer service was amazing. They gave us, like, water shoes and complimentary like little food basket and stuff. Like the customer service was amazing, top notch. And I think it was because they're relatively new and they wanted to, you know, wow us.
New hotels, I feel like, are always hit or miss because sometimes they do go above and beyond. And it's where you can find a lot of mistake pricing where for points, you're only spending a few dollars and then 6,000 points and you can get a suite. That happened when the Hyatt Centric Atlanta was new. I got to stay there with that. I tried to do that with Hyatt Regency Mexico City. Dan's Deals released that deal, and then a ton of people tried to book it, and then they canceled all of our reservations. So Chris Hutchins from All the Hacks said he stayed at the Park Hyatt Kyoto when it first opened, and it was a beautiful property. But then they were like so on top of the service that like he went into the hot springs and they saw like the towel and the shoes and the clothes and they were like, oh, this shouldn't be here. So they just took the towel and the clothes and everything. And luckily they left his phone because he had to call his family to bring clothes back down to the hot springs because they were just too on top of cleaning up after everybody. So sometimes little things like that can happen at new hotels where they don't have everything fully polished and then you have to call your family to bring you back down some clothes in the hot springs and the spa. But it sounds like your Hilton was fantastic for service since it was a new hotel.
We had a couple of hotels that we just booked through, like, actually, I think it was Expedia, one of them, which we almost never do, but it was in Cappadocia. In Cappadocia, there's no like major hotel there. They're all like kind of almost mom and pop shop type hotels. And so we just booked something off of Google, which led us to Expedia, and it was a really great hotel as well. So we like enjoying all different kinds of hotels, although we do primarily favor Hyatt because it has the best redemption value and easiest way to transfer it from Chase to Hyatt. And we get treated really well as globalists.
So I have the Chase Sapphire Preferred. Roshan has the Chase Sapphire Reserve. And so with the Preferred, you get that $50 credit, hotel credit. So we used it one night stay that we needed for Istanbul. So we like to, like Roshan said, we like to use a little bit of everything, like everything we have.
Do you recall how many points in total it cost for the hotels?
That's a tough question. Let's see. It was at least a couple hundred thousand Hyatt and a couple hundred thousand Hilton as well, which sounds like it's the same, but Hilton points are way easier to get because they transfer at like a 2-to-1 ratio with Amex. And so actually it was more than a couple hundred thousand Hilton because we actually stayed our full 6 nights in the Maldives at the Conrad Bora Bora. And so that in itself was almost 500,000 points. So it was probably around closer to 700,000 Hilton points and a couple hundred thousand Hyatt points.
How long did it take you to earn all of these? And how are you primarily earning all of these points? Because if somebody's like doing the math right now and thinking this was well over 1 million points across the entire honeymoon, how did you earn all of that?
For sure. I would say that this definitely was well over 1 million points, probably closer to 1.5 million points overall. But of course, you know, Hyatt points are worth more than Hilton points. So that's not a even 1.5 with the same value across the board. But when I proposed, that's like legitimately when I started looking into how to do all of this. Most of our points, or if not all of the points that we used on this honeymoon, were primarily through sign-up bonuses. And fortunately, I have a dental business and a real estate business where I can hit sign-up bonuses with relative ease. When Amex had Amex Platinum cards, they had to spend $15,000 and get 150,000 points. I signed up for those. At one point, I had 4 Platinum cards, like 1 personal and 3 business Platinum cards. And so I got a whole bunch of sign-up bonus points from there. The Chase Inc. cards, they were a little bit less than they are currently right now in terms of how much you had to spend, because I believe it was 7,500 spend for like 150,000 points on the Inc. Preferred or somewhere around that neighborhood a couple years ago. And so we did a couple of Inc. cards, and then we had the Preferred that Michelle opened up. And so anytime there was like a big sign-up bonus, we would hit those, and over the course of 2 years. So we definitely... we're still traveling during those 2 years, so we were using those points we were getting, but we had reserves specifically earmarked for this honeymoon.
Yeah, that's a good point, is that it took 2 years. You had a strategic plan. Having a business, I think, is like the number one thing that really, really helps people level up, not just because business credit cards have such high sign-up bonuses, but it just makes it so much easier to hit that minimum spend. Like you mentioned, completely outside of dental businesses and real estate, some people write an ebook and then pay for ads to promote it on Amazon. And if you sell enough of those ebooks to just cover your ad spend where you are breaking even, that's still a lot of points. And Chase Inc. Preferred pays 3x points on online ads. So that's a strategy that some people do too, is just sell something on Amazon, something digital, and then pour ad money into it. Study how to do ads, make enough to where you can cover your costs.
Funny, because I've heard about that method where people are just trying to break even, but just try to get 1 million points in a year just from doing that.
Yeah, and it doesn't require opening 20 credit cards. It just involves getting 1 or 2 good ones and then really getting a system down. And then once you have your system down, if you start layering even more sign-up bonuses on top of that, or layering everything else on top of that, you are miles ahead of everybody else. And so if a manufactured spending technique goes down and the world panics, you're like, I'm fine. I have a competitive advantage because I understand how to break even on the ad spend for my ebook on Amazon. And that's not something that somebody else can take from you. Like, it would just be very difficult for somebody to say, well, I'm going to start a dental business so that I can get all of these points, which someone on the podcast is thinking that exact thing right now of, well, wouldn't it be nice if we all had a dental business? But it doesn't have to be the dental business. It can be anything that sets you apart and makes it easier for you to earn points.
Yeah, I would say any business helps. And that's one thing, what you said actually really is important, that all of this was organic spend. We didn't have, I mean, there's really, really creative ways to make points, and we didn't do any of that.
So for anybody else who's thinking about doing an around the world trip, what would your number one piece of advice be for them as they're kind of getting started, whether it's for earning points, whether it's working with PointMe, or trying to just plan out how to do any of this? What would your number one piece of advice be?
I know what Roshan's going to say, but, and I think his is important, but mine is going to be a little out of the ordinary. I'm going to say email subscriptions, just because what an email subscription is basically they send you flights, like deals on low cost airfare to like these random places. And you choose, of course, like what's your airport closest to you. And so then once you do that, every day you get emails of these amazing places that you could go to for low cost. And then you can then go and decide, okay, do I want to purchase this flight with points or do I do it with money? You know, I mean, either way is fine. But I think it inspires you and it opens your mind to go to places or think about going to these random places that you wouldn't have ever thought about going to. So I think my biggest piece of advice is going to be, you know, even do the free limited version of these email subscriptions. I know that our first one was Scotch Cheap Flights, and that's why we love Scotch Cheap Flights. But I know there's other people that do it. Like, I think it's called Ashley Gets Around. She has a free version too. So, I mean, I would definitely recommend somebody doing that.
I would say my biggest piece of advice, and we've kind of touched on this in the video, is that when you have a goal in mind, you can kind of figure out what numbers you need to reach and you can work backwards. So I had the goal in mind of doing a round the world trip for our honeymoon. So I knew that it would be anywhere between 125 to 150,000 Amex points per person. And so I made sure I reached that with sign-up bonuses and spend. And then I knew that we wanted to stay at Hyatt, so I had to get a whole bunch of Chase points. So I made sure to get, you know, sign-up bonuses and spend on Chase cards and open up a Hyatt card and things like that, to make sure that I was able to have the full kind of honeymoon experience I wanted to, which we don't ever travel on luxury kind of travel. I know a lot of people love business class flights and all this stuff. We've never done that before, but we wanted to make sure that our honeymoon was like that. We wanted to stay at the nicest hotels that we felt were really, really wonderful. We wanted to have the statuses available to give us those benefits. And then we wanted to fly in business class. So we started with the end in mind and then worked backwards and figured out what we needed to do in the time frame that we had available.
Now that you've done all of these different luxury flights and luxury hotels, is there any going back for you? Or are you just like, it has to be business class from now on? I know that it completely ruins economy for some people.
Actually, just a couple of weeks ago, we went to Madrid. It was a $400 round trip ticket from Oklahoma City to Madrid. And it was economy, you know, of course it was economy for $400. And we did it over Thanksgiving. So I think we're still of the mindset that we'd want to rather go to as many places as we can. And we worked really hard to enjoy business class, but that's not the only way we're going to travel. We'd rather see the world than take one or two flights a year in business class.
Yeah, that's definitely true. We appreciate the business class, but we don't mind going to economy, especially when it's a good deal. We rather do the good deal. I will say, I think the moment where I was like more wowed, or the biggest wow moment for me for hotel, was the Hilton Conrad in Maldives, because it was our first, like, you know, bungalow, or I don't know what that's called.
Overwater villa
experience. And to know that we did this with, it was 475,000 Hilton points. It was 7 days, 6 nights. And it could have easily been like a $17,000 spend, you know, just for that hotel for that time frame. And we ended up spending like $5,000. And so I know it's still a big chunk of money, but given that it's in the Maldives and that it's an overwater villa, I mean, I was just really amazed by that.
And we didn't need to spend that much either. We just spent that much because we did the underwater restaurant. We did scuba diving like five times, like five different dives between the two of us. We did whale shark snorkel. We had to do it two different times because we didn't see whale sharks the first time. So we did spend a lot of money, but again, that was our main, like, that was what we considered our honeymoon within our honeymoon. So we splurged. The rest of the trip for the all 40 days, we also probably spent around $5,000 in total as well. So, you know, had we not had that Maldives part, we would have had almost a month and a week for just about $5,000 and points.
That is not bad at all, because $5,000 is what some people pay in rent to live in New York City for a month. In a closet.
Yeah, exactly.
So which destination out of all of the ones that you visited on your honeymoon would you say was your favorite? Was it the Maldives?
Surprisingly. So it's funny because Roshan really wanted to go to the Maldives. And I was the one that was kind of like rolling my eyes about it. I'm like, okay, yes, everybody wants to go to the Maldives. And it's funny because I really wanted to go to Greece. So I was really looking forward to Greece. But now that we did it, I have to say, I was very impressed with Maldives. And I kind of just have to like bite my tongue on it. We're from Florida. So I was like, okay, Maldives is going to be a beach. Like we've all seen a beach. But no, this was very special. Again, to be able to like swim with a wild whale shark was amazing. And that we love to scuba dive. And so the fact that we were able to like scuba dive and see like an octopus change colors and all of these experiences that we had that were just mind blowing. I was very impressed with the Maldives.
Yeah. And my favorite actually was Singapore. And I thought just Singapore, just wonderful lifestyle, wonderful place. I told Michelle, I was like, I need to move here. Singapore was great. And Barcelona as well was really, really great. Although Maldives is like the ultimate, like in my head, it's like the ultimate relaxation, luxury relaxation place. It's not what is driving me to move and travel again. I'd rather go to Singapore or Barcelona.
Singapore airport is the best airport ever. Did you guys build in extra time to explore the airport?
Yeah, we saw the jewel, we saw the whole waterfall and saw the airport. It's a magnificent piece of architecture and engineering to be able to do something like that. And absolutely would agree with you. Probably if not the most beautiful airport, it's got to be one of the top ones, but definitely for us, the most beautiful airport we've ever been to.
And interesting enough, I didn't realize that the jewel is like outside. It's like within the airport, but you don't have to like have a boarding pass to go in to see it. For some reason in my head, I thought that like I needed the ticket. And I know, like, I mean, anybody can go. It's like a mall attached to the airport. So anybody listening, if you're ever in Singapore, you don't need to like be flying into or out of Singapore to go and see the jewel. You can see it.
I loved all the free stuff there too. I don't know if you guys got to experience all of the free samples. I got to sample $300 cognac, and they just gave out Grey Goose martinis, La Prairie facial, where there was like a $600 jar of caviar-based face cream, and they put that on my face. There was a Dior facial that I got for free. So I don't know if you guys got to do any of that, but all of that's free. And the cosmetic counters, and then sometimes you have to set an appointment if it's busy, and then you come back in 30 minutes or an hour or something. But if you have a long layover, excellent way to kill some time in Singapore. They have free movie theater. They have the butterfly gardens, free massage chairs. They have so much amazing stuff. It's my favorite airport.
Yeah, we did see the butterfly garden. That was nice, but we didn't get the facials or any of that other.
I don't know if it ever changed with the COVID stuff, because they were still pretty stringent about all the masks and being very cleanly and, you know, tons of hand sanitizer. So I'm not sure if that changed anything, because we didn't see too much of that, but I mean, certainly willing to go back and try it.
I will be in that airport in August, which is going to be hot in Singapore, but I will let you all know if they still do the facials and everything at that time. You guys shared so many amazing tips in this episode today. Can you recommend another account that you guys love following that you would recommend other listeners check out for more awesome points and miles tips?
I think we both have to give a shout out to Brandon Neth over at FBZ Elite. It's a Facebook group. And that's really where Roshan started in 2018. And Brandon Neth has really helped us out with everything, like points and miles related.
Yeah, that Facebook group has been instrumental in terms of me learning back in 2018. That was my entry into it. And still to this day, if I have any questions, that's usually where I go to.
As far as Instagram goes, I have been following Nicole at Nicole Travel Tips. I think she's been giving really good tips. And then Travel Points and Views, she has been giving me some good tips for Panama. We're going to be going to Panama soon. She gave me some good tips and tricks.
Follow your podcast, because that is where we get a lot of information as well too.
Fantastic. And where can we find you guys on the internet?
Instagram, Honeymoon Hackers.
With 3 O's in moon.
That's right.
So Honeymoon Hackers.
Is there a story behind that of why there's 3 O's?
So just because by the time we created the handle, Honeymoon Hackers already existed. So that's why we did 3 O's in moon. That's it.
All right. I will make sure to spell that correctly in the show notes. I'm sure I would have missed it if you hadn't pointed it out. So Honeymoon Hackers, 3 O's in moon. Thank you both so much for coming onto the show today and sharing how you did your amazing 44-day honeymoon with 250,000 miles, really, for the most of it, for ANA around the world. I'm sure this is a bucket list flight redemption for so many people on the podcast. So thank you again so much for sharing all of your knowledge.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
We really appreciate you having us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!